Welcome to Sparkle Speak. This is a podcast sponsored by Sparkle, which is a Christian women's ministry designed to connect women with the purpose of inspiration and encouragement. Each week, we will interview a new guest who will share her personal experience with Christianity. Whether you identify yourself as a Christian or not, this podcast is for you, and our intent is always to inspire one another through our own unique and individual stories of how God has moved and shaped us. Wherever you are listening today, we hope you enjoy this story of faith. Hey everyone, welcome back to Sparkle Speak. I'm your host, Catherine. And today we have a pre-recorded episode. We recorded this back when I used to have a different podcast called Watered Wednesdays. And I used to have a co-host. Her name is Allie. So she will be the third voice that you hear on today's episode. Today's story features Krista. She is a friend of mine, and she walked through a season a few years ago where she experienced a loss. So her story is just kind of centered around how God walked her through that and what he's shown her since. So please enjoy hearing from Krista.
I am married to Aaron, and we live in Metro Detroit, and we have our son, Levi. He is 21 months old, so I cannot believe it, but his second birthday is coming up in like 3 months here, and the time's just flying. But yeah, just our little family, just chilling.
That's good.
Yeah. And you actually work for the church too. You work for Woodside Detroit.
Yes. I am the campus administrative assistant. So I have been working at Woodside Detroit for a little over 4 years now. And I never thought I would work in the church ever. Like, I went to a Lutheran university, Concordia University in Ann Arbor, and I had lots of friends who were studying to take various jobs in the church, and I was like, I'm never doing that. And then here I am. So
Classic.
Classic. Yeah.
That's what happens whenever anyone says, I'm never going to do that. It ultimately happens.
Oh, yes. Sure does.
Too funny.
Yeah. Well, we look forward to hearing. I mean, I don't know if you plan on sharing any more about that as we kind of dive into the other questions too, but feel free to share more about that too if it comes up.
Sure.
But yeah, kind of talking about that, like just kind of where you started in your faith journey. Do you want to tell us a little bit about like when you first started identifying yourself as a Christian, or like how did you come to know the Lord?
Sure. I don't actually remember when I first started identifying as a Christian. It just has always been a part of who I am. I grew up in the Lutheran church, and I've just kind of known about Jesus ever since I can remember, really. Just kind of like woven into my brain and in my heart since childhood. And so I just kind of like came to know him through my parents and my Sunday school teachers and the teachers at the Lutheran school that I grew up in. It was like a K-12. So religion class was always like a part of every day. But I just came to know him that way. And it, you know, it kind of started out like just childlike faith, you know, learning about different Bible stories and things. But as I grew older, came to know him more as like my own personal savior. And, you know, as I experienced him as a part of my own life and not just like a part of my parents' stories or my friends' lives. But yeah, just got to know him as my own personal savior. So I wish I had one of those really cool stories of where they're like, I discovered God. And it was like this massive, crazy story. I don't know, real dramatic and wonderful. But yeah, he's just always been a part of my life growing up. So
yeah. But you know what though, like I think it's been so cool even just doing the interviews on the podcast lately, because everyone's story is so unique. But I think there's such beauty in knowing God from a young age too. Like any story is amazing because it all reflects, like I was saying earlier, like just God's goodness, like
absolutely,
you know, and how cool that he revealed himself to you when you were so young. I mean, that's truly a gift, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
Do you feel like there have been challenges that you've faced in your life that have kind of played a role in your faith. And if so, like, do you want to share some of those challenges and just kind of talk about how that has played a role in your faith?
Sure. Yeah. Like I said, I just kind of had this basic Christian faith all growing up. And I feel like I kind of just had a really easy childhood. It was really normal, really healthy, really safe. And I didn't really experience anything traumatic or anything hard that would really shake my faith until like 3 years ago. So I can tell you a little about that if you're interested.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. So it's been like 3 years ago now. It was in the summer of 2017. I kind of entered this season unexpectedly where I really struggled to trust God's sovereignty and his character following the miscarriage of our first baby. Basically, in the summer months leading up to finding out I was pregnant with our first child, it was in August, 3 years ago, I found out I was pregnant. Beginning of that summer, I just kind of felt the Lord's hand over me in a very tender and personal way. He had just been kind of showing up and just kind of pulling me in, and just these gentle little love notes here and there, that I could just feel him pressing in my heart how much I was loved and how intimately he knew me, and like what was in my heart. And he just drew very close to me that summer. And we had been hoping and praying for baby, but, so when I found out I was pregnant, I felt like everything that he had been pressing in my heart that summer had all been leading up to that moment, like the new season we were entering into. But that wasn't the entirety of his message that he had been kind of giving me all summer. That was just kind of one part of it. And I wouldn't understand the rest of it till later on. And I think he knew that I wouldn't get all of it until later. And I think that's like how it was supposed to go. Hindsight's always 20/20, and it's kind of interesting how God works. But basically, we found out we were pregnant, and I was like, oh, this is meant to be. It was an exciting time. And then a month later, we lost the baby, and I was really shocked. It was traumatizing. I was really devastated. And like deep grief just kind of suddenly took place of the immense joy I had been experiencing. It was a very unwelcome change. And more than anything, I was furious. I was furious with God for letting my baby die. Like I knew that he knew it was going to happen. And so I looked back on those months leading up to where I was then, like all those sweet messages and notes and signs that I felt like God had been giving me. And he had seemed so close and so loving. And at that point, I felt like he had just been lying to me the whole time, that I'd just been tricked. And like he had been leading me on, you know? And so like that simple lifelong faith I had had growing up, it was just no longer simple. It was broken, and I was very confused, and faith was just suddenly like really complicated to me. And I had to like relearn what trust was. And I also felt the need to just investigate the part that God played in the death of my baby. Like I needed to figure out like, are you good? Are you a good, kind, loving God? Because right now it does not seem like it. So in my investigations, I kind of went back to the beginning. And when I mean the beginning, I mean like Genesis. I spent a lot of time reading in Genesis about God's original design of Eden and kind of relearning God's original intentions when he created the world and when he created us, that his heart for us was to experience beauty and perfection and life, not death. That wasn't a part of his original plan when he created the Garden of Eden. And so I eventually learned, like, even though he allowed death to occur inside my womb, to my baby, like, this part of my life isn't the be all end all. Like, his heart for me is ultimately just to know him and be with him. Mm-hmm. So I just kind of slowly had to learn, to accept that even though he knew our baby was going to die and didn't choose to keep him or her alive inside my womb, that he's still a good God and I won't have all the answers to my questions. And that was a rough journey getting there. But, you know, growing up, I'd always stood by the statement that everything always happens for a reason, in the sense that things are tied together, events in our lives are tied together, and the details are tied together as a part of his plan. And so I grappled a lot with, like, wondering if God in all his sovereignty allowed the death of our child because he knew it would draw me closer to him. Like, AKA, it's my fault because my faith wasn't strong enough. So God had to do something drastic, like let my baby die so that I would come to know him better. And, like, or maybe it was another reason, but going down that road just always brought me a lot of guilt and more questions than the tendency to question God. So I try not to go there. Maybe there's not even like a real tangible reason. Maybe it's just simply the result of sin in our world and mankind's disobedience to God, you know, like death is the consequence of sin. So through my angry investigations and like marching through the Bible, trying to find answers, you know, I started to actually understand God differently and in a deeper way, which, surprise, surprise, has always been his desire for me. Then one day, I don't remember exactly when it was, but it was a few months after the miscarriage, but something clicked and I finally felt like I fully understood the message that I had felt him pressing into my heart all summer leading up to discovering my pregnancy. And he had actually been preparing my heart for grief the whole time. And was like intentionally romancing me in a tender way so that I could eventually recall his loving character later on in my grief and in the midst of relearning who he was. Mm-hmm. Essentially, like, he just provided me with solid ground to find and stand on later when I was in the process of drowning. It was like, he's like, this is who I am. This is how much I love you. This is how much I know you. I know you better than anyone. And you're going to need this later in a few months when you start doubting who I am. It's going to take you a bit for the fog to clear and for you to remember who I am. But someday you're going to look back on this and you're going to need it.
Wow.
Yeah.
And the other thing that I came to realize was it wasn't like he allowed my baby to die and that he just stood by and let it happen, but he actually gave him or her like the best gift possible by just ushering them straight into heaven, his beautiful presence. He didn't just like watch on the sidelines as they withered away, but instead, he took my tiny child into his hands and healed them. My child isn't dead.
Yeah.
He or she is like alive and whole and thriving. And so I began to take on a more eternal perspective. And
yeah,
like our separation is only temporary, and it's all because God sacrificed his son on the cross so that death isn't a permanent consequence of sin, but just temporary. And so now I just kind of see it like death is just a doorway we walk through in order to be with God for eternity. And when that settled in my heart, I finally realized like what more could I ever want for my child than to be experiencing God in all his glory and to be with him? Like, isn't that what we ultimately want for our children? Is to know God. And like, my little baby is, he or she knows God. They're with him. So.
Right.
Lots of peace there.
Wow. You got me teary eyed over here. It's like, I mean, so heartbreaking, like just hearing you share that, but so beautiful at the same time. I mean, truly.
Yeah. It's definitely changed me inside and out for sure.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It's beautiful that you can reflect on it and put it together as like a story as you did, you know, like even just how you picture God in those different times. And I think it really just reveals to like how patient he is with us and like, you know, because like you said, he pulled you close and then this, you know, this happened. And then, but he was like still there just like waiting for, like you said, for the fog to clear. So I just loved that. His patience was really something that like emanated out of that story for me.
Yeah, that's what it was. And that patience I had originally, it felt more like silence to me. Like I was hearing from him all summer. I just felt surrounded by his love. And then our baby was gone and he was just silent. And it's like, he just needed me to get it all out of my system, like all my anger. He just took it. Yeah. He just took my anger and all the fury. Like I was angry for a while, like at least 2 months, like I was angry. And he just waited and just let me come find him again and choose him again. And yeah, he brought like those messages back to life, like right in front of my face, in due time. So yeah, not silent. Sometimes he's silent sometimes, but it's, yeah, he's just waiting for us. He's just waiting for us to kind of get there, you know? Yeah.
Well, and I'm so thankful you just shared this because I think, I mean, number one, you know, a lot of people go through this very specific type of pain, you know, with miscarriage. And so I'm really thankful you're speaking on it and sharing because, you know, I hope it brings a lot of hope and healing to some people. But then even beyond that, it's like, it applies to all of our pain too at the same time. You know, and so I'm just glad you shared what you shared because it makes sense for any hardship or any challenge or any pain.
Absolutely.
I actually heard this analogy one time that was like, there was someone I knew, she was going through a really rough spot in her faith and, kind of similar to what you were explaining, Krista, where she just kind of felt like she had to like relearn, kind of start over with God almost. And she's like, I feel like what happened was my faith was like a chair and the legs just got like broken and kicked out from underneath the chair. Like they were just totally gone. And I had to like rebuild, those legs had to be rebuilt on my chair. But she was like, the beautiful thing is that when they were rebuilt stronger.
Yes.
And it's like, my chair is like more sturdy and like a better foundation than it even was before.
That's so beautiful. I love that analogy. That's so great. Wow. Yeah, I feel like the way I always described it was I had like a jar of rocks, like a rock collection. And each rock kind of symbolized the various things I knew about God, like that he was trustworthy, that he was patient, that he was loving, that he was good. And when we lost the baby, the jar of rocks spilled over and they all fell out. And I had to take each of those rocks, each of those characteristics of God, and kind of put them in my hand one by one, turn them around, and kind of reevaluate, relearn it before I could put it back in the jar. And it was like a long process of picking up each thing I knew about God, trying to figure out how I felt about it, what I believed about it, what scripture said about it before I could put it back in my jar. But yeah, I love the analogy of the chair. That's beautiful.
Yeah, no, that the, and the rock analogy is great too. I have another question. Was there like any like resource that you really leaned into during this time? Like, I don't know if it was like a book or a person or whatever, or was it just kind of a series of things that kind of
know,
guide you in this healing?
Yeah, I did a lot of Googling along with searching in the scriptures for something that talked about miscarriage. And once I started reading online that like what other women were experiencing, I started to feel less alone, which I think is really important. A lot of different losses, especially miscarriage, can make you feel isolated. And when in actuality, miscarriage is something that happens to one out of four women. So it's not uncommon, but it is, it's very valid to grieve a miscarriage. Like just because it's quote unquote common does not mean that it's not hard. So I kind of just read a lot of articles about miscarriage. I also read a book. It's on my shelf in the other room. I could go run and grab it, but then I don't know if I could find it in time, but if I remember correctly, it's just a small little quick book called Pain Redeemed, I'm pretty sure. And I can't even recall who the author is, but it was a book written by a woman who had experienced some miscarriages and as well as infertility. And she just talked through her own faith journey and how she viewed God. And I started it over after I read through the whole thing and just was like highlighting everything. Like, this is something I want to come back to later. But I also did a lot of journaling. I have a miscarriage journal that I wrote in often just to kind of help process and get it all out on paper. There's just a lot of stuff that I read online that just helped, and articles about miscarriage that were just really eye-opening.
What was Pain Redeemed written by Natasha Metzler?
Yes.
Okay. That I found right. it. I Googled it.
Good. Thank you. Mm-hmm. It's a quick little read, but she's really honest and vulnerable about like tough feelings she had about, you know, a lot of things, but one of them, I remember being around other women who were pregnant and how hard that was for her. But kind of how she got through it. That was one of the many things in my grief that I struggled with was how do I be around people I love who are expecting babies when I'm not anymore? So it's tough. There's a lot of things about miscarriage that are just really tough to walk through. So,
Layered and then,
yeah,
yeah. Like people know, and then they'll be like, oh, how are you feeling? And it's like,
I'm feeling broken.
Now's not a good time. Right.
But God's grace redeems us, and it's just a journey, and it's grief is never ending. There's no, you cannot put a timeline to it. It just kind of becomes part of who you are, and just something that you kind of move through a little bit at a time, and it changes over time. But yeah, it's a journey.
Yeah. I've heard grief described as like love you have for something or someone that you can no longer give to them. So it's like this pain and aching, right? Like, you know, you have this love and then you're not really sure what to do with it. And then it kind of comes out this other way that's called grief.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I also remember you telling me, Allie, you sent me back when I was walking through this, you sent me a quote that you had read or heard from somewhere saying like, grief is like a day at the beach, or like after you spend a day at the beach, you come home later and you're still finding like bits of sand, like in your hair or like in your clothes, in your beach bag. And it just kind of it's never really fully gone. Like, it just kind of comes home with you and shows up in unexpected places. And I was like, dang, that's accurate.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is a good analogy.
Yeah.
It's true, because you'll, you know, you never truly get over a loss. I mean, it will come up, it will resurface at times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Definitely. Well, Krista, I do really appreciate you sharing that with us. I think it's just the way you even, I don't know, just shared that was very eloquent and just, I don't know.
I expected nothing less, to be honest.
Yeah.
I've read your writing for years. I know how you process, and it's beautiful. It always has been, and it always will be. I know that.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. I appreciate any opportunity I get to share the story, just because I feel like the purpose in it, not that there always has to be a purpose in every single thing that happens to you, but for me, it brings meaning to what I walk through, because first of all, I get to honor the child that we never got to really know, and just kind of honor his or her life and their existence, even though it was very short. It was extremely impactful, but also I get to talk about about God's role in all of that, the role that I was in investigating and being very critical of, but now I get to talk about what he did and who he is. So
yeah,
I love having the opportunity to talk about it.
Thank you for tuning into this week's episode of Sparkle Speak. If you are interested in following us on social media, you can find us on Instagram at @sparklefaith_ or at sparklefaith.com. There you can find information on upcoming events and speakers, and please feel free to reach out to us if you have a personal story of faith that you would be willing to share with us. We hope you tune in again next week, and we hope your week is full of the sparkle we all need.
Our world can feel chaotic and uncertain, but we don't have to live enslaved to fear. Christ has promised me and you his peace, and throughout Scripture has provided powerful tools and practical steps to help us experience greater freedom. I'm Jennifer Slattery, lead host of the Faith Over Fear podcast, inviting you to join me and my team as together we learn how to starve our fears and feed our faith. Subscribe at lifeaudio.com or wherever you access podcast content.